Almost a year ago, my brother passed away from complications with ALS. Before Ryan was diagnosed, I had a vague knowledge of what ALS is, but that was it. I didn't know there's no cure. Now, I am intimately aware of this disease, and I want to be part of helping the ALS community thrive and eventually find a cure. So, for the month of May, which is ALS Awareness Month, I'm dedicating all of the Friendly Podcast Guide episodes to helping raise awareness of ALS and the amazing people in this community. Hi, I'm Andy Smiley, the Friendly Podcast Guide. I'm a mom who uses podcasts to fight the boredom and loneliness of motherhood and to entertain my kids when I need a break. And I want you to be able to use podcasts in these ways too. But it can be overwhelming to try and find a podcast you or your kids will enjoy in the thousands of shows that are out there. That's where I come in. Each week, I talk about different podcasts with topics ranging from parenting to pop culture and everything in between. My episodes are short and they answer your questions about the show, so you'll know if it's a good fit for you or your kids or not. Now, let's talk podcasts. So today's episode isn't going to be like one of my normal episodes. I'm sharing the conversation I had with Deb Paust, who's part of the ALS community. Before I share the inspiring conversation I had with Deb, we're going to take a quick break to talk about how you can support the ALS community. One of my goals in life is to be able to donate $1,000 a month to ALS research to help finally find better treatments and a cure for ALS. Well, I'm not able to do that yet. I know that the money that I do donate to IMALS is doing so much good for the ALS community. If you want to help the ALS community, a simple but amazing way for you to do that is to donate to IMALS. IMALS is a patient-led community that provides critical support and resources to those living with ALS, caregivers, and loved ones. They raise awareness and advocate for the ALS community's needs. They've also been able to increase federal funding for ALS research and helped revolutionize the development of treatments and cures for ALS. IMALS has been able to do all of this because of the donations they receive each year. So if you're looking for a way to make a difference in the ALS community, donating to IMALS is a great way to do it. We'll put a link to the donation page in the show notes. Now you get to hear from Deb as she talks about her connection to ALS and how much hope the ALS community brings to the world. Today I get to do an interview that I don't normally do, which is kind of fun. I get to talk to Deb, who is with IMALS. She does not have her own podcast, but I am so excited to talk to her and help everyone in my community learn a little bit more about ALS and why I am doing this month full of ALS podcast adjacent stuff. So, Deb, first of all, just so that the people in my community can maybe make sure that they know what ALS is. When someone says ALS, what are they talking about?
Okay, well, what they're talking about is a neurodegenerative disease. And ALS stands for amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, and it's also known as Lou Gehrig's disease here in the United States. In Europe and other parts of the country, it's also called motor neuron disease, or MND. And what it is, it's a neurodegenerative disease, and it's a disease of the brain and the spinal cord, and it causes the motor neurons to die off. So what essentially happens is the brain stops talking to the muscles until you can't move or breathe. It's 100% fatal, and there is no exact cause, which makes it really hard for research and to find a cure when you don't know exactly what the cause is. And right now, there are currently no treatments to stop or reverse the symptoms, although there are some treatments that can marginally prolong life and slow symptom progression. But once you're diagnosed, you are expected to live 2 to 5 years on average. So here are some ALS facts, and maybe you know some of them and maybe you don't, but ALS can affect anyone, anywhere, at any age. And U.S. military veterans are twice as likely to develop ALS. By 2040, the incidence of ALS is predicted to increase worldwide by 70%. Every 90 minutes, someone is diagnosed with ALS. For people who live to be 85 years old, there is a 1 in 300 lifetime risk of having ALS. U.S. military veterans are 2 to 10 times more likely to develop ALS than civilians, and it's important to note that military veterans are suspected to be diagnosed with ALS at a higher rate because of bodily trauma and exposure to chemicals. Athletes also get ALS at a disproportionate rate because of suspected body trauma.
And Ryan was a soccer player, so that's why we think he was more likely to get ALS. So that one definitely, that one definitely hits home for us.
Man, I really hate ALS. It is really hard for me. I really don't like it, which is one of the main reasons I wanted to talk to you and wanted to do a whole month dedicated to helping more people learn about this disease.
You know, all diseases are really awful, but I really think that this is probably, if not the cruelest, one of the cruelest diseases.
Yeah, that's a really good way to say it. It's hard because you're watching someone who can think clearly. They know what they want, but they can't communicate it well. They can't do what they want to do. Yeah, they just are like robbed of all autonomy. And it is so hard to see. And I don't know exactly what it's like to have it, but I can imagine that it's awful because watching Ryan with it was so, so hard.
Yeah. So you've got that connection to ALS. I lost my husband to ALS. So we both have seen it. And, 100% fatal. That's devastating. And it is. It's devastating for all the people who know and love the person with ALS to watch or to even know that's the outcome. We know how this is going to end. And so then you have everybody who cares about that person. It's just this collective feeling of hopelessness because there isn't a cure. My husband was diagnosed about 12 years ago, and he lived 2 years and 2 months with the disease. And I have to say, back then, it felt very hopeless, and we couldn't, the education wasn't there. It was before the Ice Bucket Challenge. And so I always say the next worst thing of seeing someone you love live with ALS is explaining to everyone who cares about them what ALS is. And now ALS is fairly well known. I mean, I haven't had to really explain it to people very much at all since the Ice Bucket Challenge, where before that I had to explain it to people. So, that was really a phenomenon that really helped us with awareness. Since IMALS came into the picture, we've done a lot of great things, and I would never want to give anybody false hope, but there's a lot more hope now than there was 12 years ago. And that has a lot to do with some legislation that was passed. That has a lot to do with the community that has banded together in so many different ways. And then just working collectively with the science and medical community on how to make better trial designs and all those kind of things. So there feels like there's more hope now than there certainly was 12 years ago.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I do want to add to what you were saying about hope. I think when people come together and we have that connection, I think that is usually where hope comes, is when you're able to connect with people and for us, we knew that Ryan's diagnosis was fatal. But being able to connect with each other and with this community was so helpful. And, well, it was not easy, and I would not wish it on anyone. It helped us to be really intentional about our time together as a family. And so in that way, we had we had like the opportunity to be more intentional and love on each other as much as we could, which again, I'd rather have Ryan here than be intentional, quite honestly. But it was nice to have that like kick in the pants almost of being like, hi, we need to spend as much time together as we can. This is a big deal. We got to milk it for all we've got for the next 2 to 5 years, right? So I love that. And I think hope truly, as I've been talking to people in the ALS community, one of my favorite parts of all of the conversations is truly how positive people are and how, like, I can't think of a better word for, but like hopeful, not that they're going to be cured, but just like that humanity is good. And it's been lovely meeting more people in the ALS community and just partaking of their goodness. They're just like, just good people. So yes, I love that. I love that you are finding more hope and I am ALS, because I'm finding hope there too.
I think the other thing about hope for a lot of the people involved with I am ALS is that even if they're not going to see results or if their actions aren't going to be able to save their lives, they're hopeful that their participation is going to save others.
Yeah.
And that's really powerful.
Definitely.
And I can't speak for everybody, but I hope that people are seeing the changes, the positive changes that are happening in the research community and in the medical community and with the pharmaceutical companies and with the ALS organizations.
Definitely. Okay. And I know we're not going to have time to talk about all of those, but is there a place like on the website or something where people, if they want to learn more about all of like the legislative and like the pharmaceutical and all of that, that you can like send me a link so I can put it in the show notes?
Yes, absolutely. We have lots of information where, you know, not everybody wants to talk about their ALS, and we've got an incredible website where people can find resources without communicating with a person if they don't want to.
Definitely. So if you want to get involved, I am ALS has that. But also if you aren't ready for that, but you want to learn more, we've got that too. I feel like we've talked about how ALS has affected you and me. How does ALS affect the people in my community that don't know someone with ALS?
I think one of the things that impacted a lot of people around us, and I think this is true for other ALS families, and you alluded to this earlier, you know, that we have to live now.
Yeah.
We have to spend time together. So I think others are looking in and appreciating what they have more. I think they're evaluating how they're living their life, maybe making some changes. I think that's a way that ALS affects the non-ALS population.
Yeah. And I will never compliment ALS for anything, but I feel like the way that people and like the ALS community almost reacts to that diagnosis, I think is a beautiful thing. And like you said, it's very inspiring and just lovely to be reminded that like this life is finite, right? We're not here forever. And so to make sure that you are making the most of your time while you're here and loving on those people that you love the most. And that might be the best way that ALS is affecting the non-ALS community, is just that inspiration.
Yeah. Yeah. Another way that we're affecting it is, I think, the movement itself. Mm. You know, I am ALS started this grassroots movement and it just keeps getting bigger. And we, you know, it started off with just the concept out of a need of seeing that there was a failed system for people who were being diagnosed with ALS and things were not in place. And so it's Brian Wallach and Sandra Abravea, they're our founders, who saw this and wanted to make a change. And then they invited people to join them. And so then you've got this collective group of people and they all have, you know, different ideas and different needs. And that's the goal of IMALS, is to address the needs of the community. And we try to facilitate that. And of course, we can't do that for everyone, but we're able to do that. And so we have a veterans team, and they have a whole set of initiatives and agendas and things. And we have a many shades of ALS. So that's a team of people of color with ALS. And, you know, Black people are diagnosed 8 months later on average than white people are. So there's those things that we want to try to improve upon. So yeah, we are very proud of the impact that we have had since IMALS has been in existence. So we're really proud of the progress and advancements we've made in just 5 years since launch. IMALS has completely changed the landscape. And if we're looking at our impact from the perspective of government money spent towards ALS, we are looking at an almost 1,000 return on investment from advocacy efforts, which is really remarkable.
Yeah.
It's over $1 billion in new federal dollars dedicated to ALS in just 5 years.
Wow. That is a big impact.
In addition to that, our organization led two successful grassroots efforts to pass two ALS bills. One is to eliminate the waiting period for disability benefits, and the other bill is the Act for ALS, and it demands patient access to experimental treatments.
Yeah, that one, I know that Ryan benefited from that one. He was able to get some medication that wasn't available to him before that.
And I think there's something, at least it was for my husband, to die trying.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. To not just take it and be passive, you know? And I think that's why we are a community of people who are passionate and driven to make some kind of change or difference.
Yeah. And I love what IMALS is doing, because I think one of the hardest parts before communities like IMALS and just in general is that people with ALS don't live for very long once they're diagnosed. And so now that there's a community of people who have banded together and like are able to keep going after someone has passed away, I feel like that is one of the reasons why so much more progress is being made. Is it's not just when someone with ALS is around, it's after the fact as well. We have a place to go to continue this fight and also just continue to find that connection when it can feel really lonely. So before I let you go, I would love if anyone in my community is looking for a way to get involved with IMALS, can you kind of give us like the down low, like where they go or opportunities, how they can get involved?
Yeah, there are lots of ways your listeners can get involved. They can go to our website at www.imals.org, and they can look at the many volunteer opportunities we have. We have a Take Action page, and that's where people can make a difference by filling out some forms about raising awareness, increasing ALS research funding, or passing some legislation. We have a donate page where people can donate towards IMALS and keep the movement going.
That's awesome. And truly, this month, I am going to talk a lot about donating to IMALS, because I feel like that is maybe like the first step of getting involved, is just putting some money toward a very valiant cause of helping the ALS community.
So we have a summit coming up in DC, and this is where we've done this the last few years, where we have a flag installation where we place 6,000 flags on the National Mall in Washington, DC. And the 6,000 flags symbolizes the approximately 6,000 people that will get an ALS diagnosis. And it's an incredibly moving display. This year, we're doing our first ever summit. And we have in-person and virtual opportunities to attend. And so I can share that link as well. That would be a great introduction for your listeners to, that would be a deep dive into ALS, but they might want to come check it out so they can learn more.
Definitely. Please, please, please give me that link too so that I can put it in my show notes.
Absolutely.
Deb, thank you so much for coming on the show today to talk about ALS and just kind of help us all better understand this really awful disease and how we can all help fight it and defeat it eventually.
You're very welcome. And thank you for letting me talk about IAMALS and about this incredible community. I really appreciate your time and that you care. And I love that you're doing ALS awareness all month long.
I am so grateful that I got to chat with Deb. She's delightful, isn't she? All month long, I'm going to be introducing you to lovely members of the ALS community, so be sure to listen to all of the May episodes. Also, if you want to help the ALS community, you can click the link in the show notes to donate to IAMALS. Talk to you soon!